Gospel according to Luke, chapter 13, verse 31. On that very day, some Pharisees came, saying to him, "Get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must journey today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. And assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you shall say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me another moment as we pray. Father, take your word, penetrate our hearts, draw us to your will. And all of this, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. This passage begins telling us it's that very day. It's that very same day. It's the very same day when Jesus was asked, "Will only a few be saved?" You know, it had to be very difficult for Jesus to know that while scores and scores of people would come to salvation, there would be more who would not. And Jesus' heart certainly was for those who would be saved, but his heart was even greater for those who would not. Jesus would do everything possible to bring salvation, everything possible so everybody would have that opportunity to know him and to be saved, to be forgiven. That possibility is for you. If you've never received Jesus, you can today. If you want to receive Jesus, you can. I believe that Jesus came for every person in the world at all time, and any person at any time who will come to him in repentance and faith will be saved. There are many obstacles that were placed in Jesus' way to keep him from fulfilling our salvation. The Pharisees in this passage try to stop Jesus by trying to make him afraid. It's difficult for us to know their motives, but they were trying to scare Jesus away from Jerusalem. And if they were able to scare him away from Jerusalem, they would also take him away from his purpose. So in this passage, we see a devious detour. In verse 31, the same day, there were certain of the Pharisees saying to him, "Get you out, depart from here, for Herod will kill you." Jesus was warned. The Pharisees were trying to move him, trying to persuade him. Herod was using these Pharisees to try to get Jesus out of his jurisdiction. They thought they could detour Jesus by threatening him, by telling him that Herod would kill him. Now, Herod did have power. We know that Herod could kill people. In fact, it had only been a short time at this reading that John the Baptist had been killed at the hands of Herod. So it's a real threat. Fear is a real thing. Fear is a tactic that the devil uses to turn many people from the will of God. It is very active in this world today. Fear is the enemy of faith. The Bible is clear. Anything that is not of faith is sin, and so you can't fear and faith at the same time. The devil will seek to scare you. He will seek to get you to fear the past. He will try to get you so worried about what you did yesterday that you will think that you cannot receive forgiveness today, that there's no hope for you. The devil will seek to get you to fear the present, to freeze you in your tracks so that you will not take that next step that is vital to you being in God's will. And as in this passage, the devil will try to get you to stop from following God's will tomorrow. I like how Jesus answers this assault of fear. Jesus kind of laughs it off, if you will. He uses Hebrew humor. In verse 32, "Go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and I cure diseases today and tomorrow, and the third day I will be perfected." Jesus lets it be known that he's not going to let fear stop him. He's not going to let fear stop him because of yesterday. He will not let fear stop him today, and he will not let fear stop him tomorrow. He calls Herod that old fox. He's applying just some character traits of Herod being sly and devious. Herod had been sly enough and devious enough in order to gain the throne of his grandfather, to gain that from Rome. You see, this is not Herod the Great, the builder. This is Herod riding on the coattails of his predecessor. He will do whatever it takes to make him look better in the eyes of Rome. He did have power, but he did not have power to threaten Jesus. Jesus said, "I'm not afraid of that fox. I can cast out demons. I can cure diseases." The very demons of hell tremble at Jesus. Diseases? Well, there has always been diseases. There will always be diseases. Jesus has the power to cure diseases. "I have heavenly power," he is saying. That fox may be devious. He may have plans. But since I can cure diseases and since I can cast out demons, I will not be afraid of Herod. Many of the paintings that you may have seen of Jesus kind of paint him as a wisp of a man. I want you to know Jesus was all man. Jesus had grown strong in spirit and in stature and in courage. The Pharisees thought they could cause him to tremble, just kind of fade away. Fear will do that. Fear will cause people to back off. The devil will try to stop you from following God by building fear in your life. This is really today. I have never known a time in my life where I have seen so much fear as I see today. People are afraid of this disease, the COVID-19, and now God has allowed there to be a vaccine to help us get through this, and now people are terrified of the vaccine. God sends a rescue, and the devil tries to make people afraid of it. Now, I am not telling you you've got to take a vaccine. I did. I've taken one shot, waiting for the second one. I believe it's what God has given us. And so if there's not another one, I'll take that one. But you need to pay attention to God's direction, and you need to let God guide you in whatever decision you need to make in that regard. But I will tell you one thing God does not want. God does not want you to cower in fear. There is no disease so great that it is greater than our God. In these times, remember, Jesus, who can cast out demons, who cures diseases, can handle whatever we face. Listen, he can handle what we face in Washington, and he can handle what we face in Columbus. 1 John 4:4, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Jesus is the same God who strengthened Moses to stand against Pharaoh, divided the Red Sea so the children of Israel might walk across on dry ground. This is the same Jesus that strengthened the Hebrews so they were able to stand in the pit of the fiery furnace and yet not be burned. This is the same Jesus that strengthened David so that he could go up against the giant Goliath and bring the Goliath tumbling down to the ground. It is the same Jesus that can give victory after victory. He would not fear Herod, and we should not let fear control our lives. We should trust the same Jesus. There's a devout determination here in verse 33. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. Jesus is sending a strange message to Herod. I don't know if Herod would understand it or not. But in verse 32, he says he's going to continue today and tomorrow. He's not talking about literal days. He's talking about a short breath of time. Jesus is very aware that his time on earth is limited. He's very aware that the moments he has are brief. He's not going to spend those moments in fear. You do know our time is short. I hope you live a long, long, long time, but on this earth, our time is short. Why would we give it away to fear? Jesus would stand strong. He understood his time, and he was going to use his time in God's desires for God's purposes. He could not be threatened by death because he came to die. The cross was not a last-minute disaster thrust upon Jesus. It was the plan of God all the time. God would have to become man and dwell among us in order to be able to give himself for us. God fully knew that Adam and Eve would fall in the garden. God fully knew of your sin and mine. God fully knew that we were not able to stand against the powers of sin throughout our life. We would all need a Savior, and so God determined he would provide that Savior. He loves us so that he planned to redeem us, even knowing that we would fail him. Jesus would become man and dwell perfectly on the earth and sacrifice that perfect life for you and for me. That's why the book of Revelation says that Jesus is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. This was the sacrifice that had to be made, that only God could make, and God was willing to make it. It's the sacrifice that gives us the hope of forgiveness and salvation. So Jesus would go through today and tomorrow, and the third day he would be perfected. Now, he was always perfect. He never sinned, but that's speaking of the resurrection. That's speaking that he would go through the cross, through the grave, and through to life again and everlasting. He would complete the work of salvation, and afterward, he would seek to draw us to himself. He would continue toward Jerusalem, knowing what Jerusalem held for him. Determined to go. Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves me. Jesus was not fooled by their scare tactics. He says, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish out of Jerusalem. They could threaten him, but they could not dissuade him. He would not let fear master him. And my friend, you need to not let fear master you. Make a devout determination. You're going to stand with Jesus. You're going to believe in Jesus. You're going to know that no matter what is in this world, he is greater. And we're on his side. And what is even more amazing, he's on our side. There's a deadly decision. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which kills the prophets and stones them that are sent unto you. How often would I have gathered you as children together, as a hen does gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. Jerusalem actually means city of peace. But it had become a place of torment for those who stood for God, for those that tried to get people to come to God. Jerusalem was the place that had brought difficulty to the prophets and killed many. It was where Isaiah the prophet was sawed in half. it would be the place where Jesus would offer himself a sacrifice. Why Jerusalem? Well, not because they were deserving. They were not. We are not. It was a fulfillment of prophecy that Jesus would go there, to that particular place. It was prophesied by the prophets. Jesus himself said that it would be the place of his death. In fact, it would be through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross in Jerusalem that would actually bring the meaning to be that it would be the place of peace. Jerusalem was also appropriate because it's where the temple was. And what did God say about the temple? The temple would be a place of sacrifice. And so this is the place where God's lamb must be slain. Jesus reveals that he had given many opportunities for Jerusalem to come to him, many opportunities for these people to wake up. How many opportunities has he given for us in America? I know of no land ever that has had the gospel preached more than the United States of America. God has rattled the cages of this land to give us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. He states about Jerusalem that he had invited them to come to him as a hen seeks to draw her brood, and they would not. I'm told that a hen will do many things to protect her young. When we think of chicken, we think they're chicken. But actually, they can be quite courageous. A chicken will cluck, and if you've ever been around chickens, you've heard them cluck. And you know one cluck sounds pretty much like another cluck to us, but not to chickens. You see, each chick knows the cluck of its mother. And when there's a danger in the barnyard and the mom starts clucking, she's calling her chicks to herself, and they will flock to their mom. And the mom will cover them with her wings to protect them. I heard the story of a farmer who had a small fire in his chicken coop. After the blaze was put out, he found a hen there that was charred, and he went to move it. And when he did, he moved the charred wing and he noticed something moving. And there her chicks were safe under her wings. She could have probably spared herself, but her love was for her chicks. You know, Jesus could have spared himself, but his love was for you and for me. He had spread out his arms again and again, trying to bring people to himself, trying to bring people to God's desires, and many would not come. The result of Israel's and Jerusalem's decision against Jesus, not to come to Jesus, would be disastrous. Verse 35, behold, your house is left to you desolate. There's a message here of great spiritual demolition, but it was also a physical demolition that would take place. Jerusalem would be destroyed. Rome would come in and they would cause havoc in Jerusalem. That was one of the world's great disasters. The gates would be battered. Walls would be torn down. The temple itself would be burned and destroyed, and because the gold would melt into the cracks of the stone, the stones were upended that it might be scraped off, and it was no more. The dead were everywhere, and those that lived were tortured. It's a deadly decision anytime anyone refuses to answer the call of Jesus. That's true eternally. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me. Today, in this day when many are cowering in fear, we need to rally to Jesus. We need to rally to Jesus in our hearts, in our minds, in our walk, in our life. We need to put him first. We need to understand he has us. He can care for us. He can take us through. And you know, if it is God's determination that the end of my life will be COVID-19, then COVID-19 is my passage to eternal glory. Why should I fear? Now, I'm not saying be stupid. There are natural precautions that you need to take. You need to do those things that you were told to do to guard yourself, to protect yourself. But don't walk in fear. This is not meant to be the end of our life. It is to be the point of our faith. It is a time when we can rally to Jesus and let people know that we know he has us and he will care for us. And it is a time for us to draw people to salvation in him. The way to salvation and deliverance is simple. Jesus says, come to me. All need to come to him. We need to accept what he did on Calvary's cross. His arms are outstretched as the wings of a hen are outstretched. And as his arms were outstretched on the cross, he shed his blood for you and for me to cover my sins and to cover your sin. We are guilty. He was guiltless. And yet he came to take my sin and your sin and all of that, that we might be forgiven. How horrible it would be to have heard the gospel and to stand before Jesus in judgment and have rejected him. Knowing we had the opportunity, we said no. We need to encourage people. We need to encourage people while their world has been shaken, there is a God who is greater than whatever is shaking their world. We need to encourage people that Jesus can give a way. Jesus can give a victory. Jesus can hold us up. And when we breathe our last, we're just transitioning to glory. And oh, how wonderful it's going to be when those who know him get to see him. And I believe that day's coming. For me, I think it's not too far away. I don't know where you are in the process, but I do know this. The way you face disease, the way you face disaster, the way you face difficulties, the way you face death is to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And just trust him. He gives the victory. Would you stand with me for prayer? Father, I ask right now that you would move within our hearts. Father, certainly if anyone does not know Jesus, I pray that they would come to know you. Father, I pray that in this moment, that those of us that know you would seek to put fear aside, seek to put our trust firmly in you, that we would believe that you can carry us through whatever the day holds. Father, that we would not give an example of fear, but we would stand in an example of faith that will draw people to our Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that we would show hearts dedicated to victory.